Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Inspiration on 657 AM.
It's exactly 36 after 6. That's your time here on Radio Pulpit. It's Let's Praise Him and Radio Pulpit Jikelele, by the way. And I have been testing the two platforms. It's so fascinating, Barcelona. Let me tell you, absolutely fascinating that you can literally be on three platforms. I've just tested two on our website, that is radiopulpit.co.za. So anytime you are out of the radius that covers 657 AM, do note that you absolutely can join us online on Radio Pulpit as well as Radio Pulpit Jikelele. Good morning to you, Dada. A blessed morning to you indeed, sir.
Good morning to you, Ayanda, and good morning to the listeners of Radio Pulpit. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time this morning. I want to go straight into the matter this morning. I do realize that, the past 2 weeks I have not distracted, but sort of, drawn you away from the core by asking all the questions, even though I thought they were a little bit relevant. I cannot promise that it's not going to happen again today, but I do want us to continue with our lesson, Wetudada, that we started. And you've been talking a lot about mentorship and discipleship and the training of men, and how men can be that agent through which God is able to train the gifts and not to neglect those gifts in our families. Men can be those disciples, and we're just talking about the technicalities of recognizing the gift. You know, how does a father deal with a rejection, for example, from a child when the child decides, dad, I'm not going to do that, and all of that. So let's take it from there, Dada. How does a man truly position themselves in being a disciple, and in particular, recognizing and training the gifts in their household?
I think that, basically the theme that we have been talking about this year in 2025 has been about, at any given moment in time, you as a man being able to contribute effectively to four or five generations, at a time, right? So as I speak today, for instance, my father is in a position to engage with his great-grandchildren. Right, he's in a position to engage with his grandchildren and obviously ourselves. So
sure.
He's got three generations that are at his disposal. But I want to steal a word from other people that I picked up along the way.
Mm-hmm.
That as men, our understanding of creating multi-generational legacies, multi-generational inheritances,
mm-hmm.
must be based on the concept of being investors in people,
sure,
right?
So
when I talk to my children, my daughters-in-law, son-in-law, all that, and my own children, to say, guys, my success, you are my success.
Wow, Dad.
My grandchildren are my success. Okay? What I do with you and the productivity and responsibility and accountability and effectiveness that I give to you, the culture of that culture, actually measures my success. So when I celebrate my life, it can't be that I celebrate buying a Porsche or a Lamborghini or something. The principal celebration is the effectiveness and success of my grandchildren, effectiveness and productivity of my own children and my own. So it's investment in people. So we need to be very clear about that. Now, to go back to the notes, let's say this: a well-mentored young man must be seen by his fruits and productivity, by his vision and focus. A well-trained young man is not neglectful, nor is he talkative. In the Shangan language, they say Mindiro Yabulabula, right? So basically, if we want to know who you are, what you are, we must look at what you produced and not listen to your talk, right? Your results must speak to you. Pastor Ray McCauley, many years ago, once said, was preaching, that, you know, you can argue with a man, but you cannot argue with his results. So you can go, for instance, and say in the neighborhood that Sandile doesn't know how to run fast. But when we go to the stadium and we run against the clock and I make the time, correct time, and it's measured and it's there, and you say, let's do it again, and I am able to do it again, and you say, let's do it again, I'm able to do it again, let's do it again, and I'm better. So you can run with your rumors, but you cannot dispute the results that I'm able to produce concretely. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 7:15-20, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit.
Sure, come on.
Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So your children, your nephews, your nieces, the young people that you mentor, the young people that you father, or the people that you father and mentor, because I've discovered that people actually don't need to be your age. Some are older than you. They need your guidance and support, some being older than you.
Correct.
So, therefore, by their fruit, you will know them. So, to know whether a person is good in mathematics or good in music, we must look at what they produce. You know, I was in junior secondary school, you know, I was put in the choir there. And then when they looked at my talents in music, they realized that they've got to put me at the back there, you see, where I contribute more to the volume of the thing than to the actual... So there's never been a question about my singing ability, and I've never tried to lead any choir or to lead a band I sit next to somebody and we're listening to music, and somebody says, "Did you hear that cello? Did you hear?" I said, "What cello?" I don't even hear those things.
That is sound. Sound of
boom, 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 and then that's So a child and a human being has got unique abilities, unique native talents, inherent, inborn talents that God has put there to have those abilities. And it is our job as fathers to identify, to help these young people, in this case we're talking in a family context, to come up and be fruitful and be identifiable. That, you know, this is a rose, this is a dahlia, this is a marigold. It's clear what it is. So the true identity of a person is revealed by their deeds and the outcomes of their deeds. Our young men must create thriving families, communities, and nations, where a well-developed and diligent young man is present. There must be good health, security and abundance. Our God is a God of fruitfulness and abundance. And our people must not be misled. God wants you to be fruitful. The Bible says a tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.
Sure.
Whatever that means, whatever you want to interpret that, but God is irritated by people who don't use the talents and the gifts that God has given to them. You can try and put some romance around it, put some sugar coating around it, but this idea of fruitlessness, of being a eunuch that cannot produce any fruit, is not part of godliness.
Dada, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Let me please ask you this question because, you know, the issue of fruitfulness is so convicting, let me tell you. I mean, every time, you know, we're reminded that every time we have excuses, we have our fruit to basically minister right back to us. But here's the big question that I've always had around the issue of fruitfulness. What is the actual nature of the seed? And I mean, I think I kind of know the answer, but you know, let me just ask, what is the actual nature of the seed? Because sometimes we are oblivious of the actual seed in us and we measure ourselves and what we ought to achieve by what we have already seen in our families. Now, it is not always that our families have been able to bear the kind of fruit that we should be using as a measurement of our own fruitfulness. Sometimes we are the generation that needs to break through, you know, and begin to really produce fruit. So what do we actually look at? Where do I go when I want to understand where I should be going and how far I can actually go?
So, the first thing that people is that as a young person, there is a voice that speaks to you to say this is the direction you should be going. You know, at other times, just by the way you behave. It is clear there are certain things that you are drawn to. I'll come back to that.
Sure.
However, there is no human being who is not called to service. In other words, you will love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your might and mind. But you will love yourself and love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. In other words, you are supposed to serve God and you are supposed to serve humanity. And the fuel and purpose and focus of that, Paul says, I was constrained. We can say, I was compelled by love to do my ministry. It was love that made me to do this ministry. I was forced by love. So if you don't have empathy and compassion, and a feeling to satisfy a need. There are many needs, deeper. For instance, people may be working hard and they need a break. And God could have given you a gift of hospitality.
Sure.
That is in this holiday resort where people can come and be rejuvenated totally so that they can go back and be effective. Or give you a gift of music to entertain them and recreate them, or sport, whatever it may be. So you cannot live a life that does not impact other people's life for the better. In other words, driven by the love to deliver that love of God concretely. Because we must not, you know, it's good for people who says, you know, I was sitting under a tree and I just felt a little bit God enveloping me. It's also good for you, Ayanda Nimimba, for a person who was down and out and showed up and to show me the love of God and lifted me up, you know. So we must not always attribute the experience of God to an invisible and intangible experience. We are the tangible experience of the love of God that people must experience. They must come in touch with God in us. Paul says we are the epistles, we are the letters of God to the world. So there are things in life, and I always caution people about these things, because and you and I have discussed this, that there is a degree to which you gravitate or you flow with life, and you are drawn to certain things.
Sure.
You know, when you look at Moses, when he grew up, although he was brought up as an Egyptian prince, actually, and he's not just an Egyptian, but an Egyptian prince, when he saw the oppression of the Hebrews, he recognized that actually I'm a Hebrew, and I don't like oppression, and unfortunately he killed a person who was exercising that, and that got him to go to exile. But he was naturally drawn to that. He was a liberator from the start. It was in him. So I look at my own life and I say, man, you know, I don't like going into things like CVs and stuff like that. Like my CV, and I don't like to discuss that. Because out of the three, I mean, we are three brothers. I am basically the one without a profession, you know?
So you say that we have ways to carve out a profession for you, but yeah.
I mean, my younger brother is a chartered accountant, and it's clear everybody, when you say no, this man is a chartered accountant, it's clear people don't doubt what this is. My elder brother started building science and spent the past more than 40 years in the construction industry. He's a builder. He builds things. He project manages construction projects. He's a professional in the built environment, right? Now, you come to me. You know, when I was in Standard 8, I got this vision that, you know, I need to go into computers and electronics. Mm-hmm. And I studied that, and I got the degree. And I wanted to run my own computer firm and all these things. But even as I was growing up, even in higher primary, junior secondary, high school, right throughout my university career, I was always drawn to social causes.
Sure.
Right? It is a justice. I would go full speed. And people have always asked, suddenly, you are trained very well as a computer nerd. You are a nerd. But when it comes, your understanding of social issues is amazing. And that has basically what has given me international exposure.
Mm.
It's not computers or anything. And it's what I do almost 24 hours a day. Right? So the calling inside of me takes me in a certain direction. When I went to do my MBA, I wrote my dissertation for my MBA on ERP systems on computers. Right?
Wow.
Even right now, I mean, I haven't even finished that PhD to do my PhD. It was again on system design. Some people, and I ask myself, now, I'm going to study design at university for a PhD to do design, you know, basically design theory and design science.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, people bring me on a show like this radio pulpit or the SABC or Al Jazeera and all these people.
Mm-hmm.
Then they say, no, it's Dr. Swana talking. But the actual PhD has got nothing to do with this thing that I've come here to do.
The thing that you're doing. Wow.
So, I mean, what the hell has this mastery of design theories got to do with whether children are sleeping with food, whether the national dialogue is being run according to proper principles of governance and all that. So most of the work that I do, other than, you know, theology, I've studied theology, and then I've done very well in studying theology, no problem. I have 2 degrees in theology. But the other stuff is not exactly what I have studied. It comes out of me. So there is something in us or in you that you need to be aware of. What is that? You can tell me to do some chants and dances and whatever else you want to do, but there is something that God has put in you, and it is your purpose, it is your talent, it is your gifting, and there will be fruit there. And I see a lot of fruit in what I do. However, I need to move towards the conclusion. However, I have always said to even to my kids that you must study what you are able to study, right? So the 2 majors that I took in my first degree was economics and computers. Those suited me because my mind is structured in logic and mathematics, right? Both of those subjects need logic and mathematics. So I did well in them. So when I go to university, when I went to do my MBA, I went to focus on, I did all the mathematical modules in my MBA, all the finance modules that needed calculations. I did those, all of them. I didn't leave anything out. All that was available, because I knew that my chances of passing are more if I go in that direction. However, when I'm coming out of there, I must go and analyze what the ANC is saying, or what this one is doing, what Trump is saying. I hope people are getting what I'm trying to say.
Ndiyakuva mna tata, ndiyakuva kakuhle, and ndiyafuna ucela uba sishiye right there, right? Only because of time, there's just a quick ad break that we need to take before we cross over. The gist here is that even in the work that Odata are doing, you know, in honing the gifts in their children, perhaps the method, it is only one of many methods that we can look at, is find out what your child is passionate about. If it is a child listening and trying to figure out, find out yintoni linga phakathi kuwe, you know, and perhaps follow that, but follow that within a controlled environment until you're able to fly on your own. Yeah? This morning, absolutely crossing over now to the rest of our programming here on Radio Pulpit. The Lord really bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, and the Lord give you his peace in Jesus' mighty name. We love you. Let's meet again tomorrow morning as we continue to give thanks and praises unto the Lord our God.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, a companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882, and OpenView 607. Also follow us on our social media, download our app, and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.